Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Because we can talk about this all we want, but we are by no means an expert. We have an expert on the line. He covers the Philadelphia Eagles for NBC Sports Philadelphia. His name is Dave Zangaro. Good evening, Dave.
Hey, John. What's going on, man?
Dave, it's wild, man. You can't get a day off. Just when you're like, you know what, it's the off season. Maybe I can take a week vacation. You can't. It's 365 days a year, especially with this team.
Yeah, there's no off season in sight with the coaching search and now the inevitable Carson Wentz trade. I mean, eventually there will be an off season, but it's not right now.
Well, Dave, let's start with this. We now turn to you. So many rumors, reports surrounding the fate of Carson Wentz. What is the latest you have heard?
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly getting traded. It's just a matter of when and what they get back. You know, this whole time, the Eagles have tried to play it off like, we don't really want to trade Carson Wentz, but, you know, if you blow us away with an offer, we'll trade him. I mean, that's clearly a tactic because once you get to this point, you have to trade him. I mean, there's no going back on it now. There's no way that you know, anything falls apart and you say, hey, Carson, come back here for 2021. I mean, it's just – that's not going to happen. He's gone already. It's just a matter of what you get back for him and where he goes.
Now, when it comes to the interest in Carson Wentz, what I'm trying to figure out is – because it's so hard to – you know who to believe in, who not to believe in, what is being thrown out there by the organization to drum up more interest. Do you think there is multiple teams interested in him and there could be a bidding war? Or do you think it may be just one team and they're just trying to get the most out of that one?
No, I think there are multiple teams. Now, the question is, how far do multiple teams want to go? Because, yeah, obviously that's the best case scenario, is that you have multiple teams and all those teams are fully invested in the idea that they want Carson Wentz, and then you're right, you would have a bidding war. And that's ultimately what the Eagles want, because that they're going to be left as the desperate team. No one wants to be a desperate team, right, John? Like, if the Eagles don't want to be desperate, if we're talking about, you know, the Bears don't want to be desperate, the Colts don't want to be – no one wants to be the desperate team.
Right.
The idea, if you're the Eagles, is that – you know, you kind of sit back and you let the other teams dictate what the compensation is. And that's what they're hoping. And it kind of seems like that's what's going to happen, at least to some extent. You look around at the league and there are more teams that need quarterbacks than there are viable options. I'll put it that way. I mean, I think and we can debate whether or not Carson Wentz is a viable option. Mm-hmm. I think he's looked at, you know, as a viable option by those teams, because we've seen him play at a high level, and you can make all the excuses in the world that, you know, he didn't have the O-line or he didn't have the receivers, whatever it is, but he's clearly a talented player, right? So I think that's what teams are looking at. The contract, honestly, if you're a team taking that, it's not that bad. Like, if you think Carson Wentz is a top half of the league quarterback, the contract isn't that bad for a couple years. So with that in mind, yeah, I think they can get a decent return, especially if you end up with two or three teams who really think they can get him and that he'd make a difference. And that's ultimately what I think the Eagles are banking on right now.
Well, Dave, like one of the things that it's really hard to look by or it's difficult to kind of translate over is what happened with the Rams and Lions with Jared Goff. I understand that the Rams got a starting quarterback in return, but they also gave up a ton just to get rid of that Goff contract. Is it okay to compare Jared Goff to Wentz in this sense, or is it unfair?
It's impossible. You know, if Jared Goff had gotten traded by himself or if Matt Stafford had gotten traded by himself, then I think you could really draw conclusions from the return of those trades, right? Mm-hmm. But because they were involved in the same trade, you can't really isolate either quarterback and their worth. What I will say is the Goff part of the trade really kind of lets you know how much the league is changing in terms of the willingness to accept dead money. It's kind of, and we've heard this comparison before, but it's a little more NBA-like, right? And, you know, it previously, the NFL, you know, you would never end up with $22 million in dead cap space like the Rams are going to have with Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. You certainly wouldn't have nearly 34 in the case of the Eagles with Carson Wentz, but that's kind of changing. And it changed with the Goff. That's the one thing I really took from the Goff deal was that, yeah, a team's going to be willing to eat it for a year to come out on the other side with a fresh start. And that was the one thing we've heard Andrew Brandt, who I respect a lot. I mean, he's been in the front office of the Packers. He used to be a consultant for the Eagles. He's really been around for a long time. And, you know, for the last few months, he's been steadfast in the idea that the Eagles wouldn't trade Carson Wentz because of the money. And today he finally admitted, like, I was wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him because he's looking at it from all the history there is in the NFL with how contracts are dealt with. But this is a new case, and it clearly seems like the precedent was set with that Goff deal, and the Eagles are going to be fine with it. I mean, not fine with it, but they're going to have to swallow it because they have to trade Carson Wentz at this point. And now they're just worried about how much they get back in that return.
Dave Zingaro covering the Eagles for NBC Sports Philadelphia. Nice enough to join us. By the way, Dave has stories on all of this on NBCSportsPhilly.com or the links to them are on his Twitter account, at the letter D Zingaro, NBCS. Dave, one of the we hear the Colts and we hear the Bears as the two notable teams that we're seemingly aware of that who are interested in Carson Wentz, whether those are rumors or there's you know, real traction to that. And with the Bears conversation, I've already fielded phone calls about that tonight. The idea of somehow...
Where are we going here, John? Where are we going?
Dave, you can't make this stuff up. The idea that it's possible that Nick Foles could be involved in a Carson Wentz trade. Have you thought about that?
Of course I've thought about it. But, you know, if the Eagles have to figure out what their plan is here at quarterback. If their plan is Jalen Hurts or if their plan is to draft a quarterback, whatever it is, how unfair would it be to that player to then bring in Nick Foles? It'd be the same kind of situation you had with Carson Wentz where you have this kind of mythical figure in Nick Foles with the team. I don't know how realistic it is. I mean, from a football standpoint, it makes a lot of sense.
Right.
But it'd be so unfair. Like, if you're telling Jalen Hurts he's your starting quarterback, oh, by the way, we're bringing in this guy who was our Super Bowl MVP. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you, if Nick Foles is here.
Yeah.
Otherwise, fine. There's a lot more to this than football, which has become abundantly clear with this Carson Wentz situation. It would be such a tough deal, right? Like, I don't know how you could make another guy your starter if Nick Foles is on the team. If Nick Foles is on the team, he's got to be the starter. And that's the problem here. I don't know how you do it without making Nick the starter. And we've seen from Nick that I don't know if he can be a full-time starter. His career's been... You know, his career's kind of proven that he can be the guy for a little while, but long-term, maybe not so much. And It would be tough, John. I would love it. It'd be fun, but I don't know.
No, I realize from a coverage standpoint and from my standpoint, it would be great because it's nothing but great material to work with. But from a football standpoint, it would be terrible. Dave, in reality, I know we're just guessing, but you have a better understanding of this than we ever will. In reality, what type of return do you think we should expect for Carson Wentz?
They can get a first-round pick. I think so. I mean, the key to this has always been whether or not there are multiple teams bidding for him. If there are multiple teams, then yeah. I mean, you can have a bidding war and you can get up to a first-round pick. But it's funny. The Eagles feel like they have leverage, but they really don't, because at this point, everyone knows they need to trade him, but that doesn't matter. You know, if you have two or three teams who want this player, you're going to have to take the best offer, and they know that. And you just hope that you can kind of rope them into a little bidding war. Is it going to go super high? Probably not. I mean, we're talking about the Colts, and what do they have, pick 20 or 21? I mean, it's not, and there's such a big difference between a high first-round pick and a later first-round pick. And I think that's important, too. You know, if we're talking about the Jets, and I'm just throwing a team out there, like, clearly the second pick in the draft is not up for grabs, right? But, like, the 20th pick in the first round, that's a little different. And I think the Eagles have a real chance to land a later pick in the first round in this deal and some. I mean, I really think that the return can be pretty good. And we've heard the kind of talk that, you know, there are some rumors out there the Eagles started with two first-round picks as their asking price, which, sure, I mean, this is the way negotiations work. You start off sky high, and they start off really low, and you try to come to a middle ground. And I ultimately think that the middle ground really could be including a late first-round pick.
Wow.
And it's all dependent on how many teams are involved, but it's realistic. It really is.
Final question I have as it pertains to that position. What do you think the future holds at quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles? I know it's very easy to say Jalen Hurts, but I keep thinking back to the reason they drafted him, and I refuse to believe that the reason they drafted him was to be the future franchise quarterback, so I don't know what is in their head right now. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think that it's likely Jalen Hurts is the starter in 2021, but as they sit now with the number 6 pick, I'm not saying they should drop the quarterback, but they owe it to themselves to take a good hard look at the quarterbacks who will be available at 6. And if they don't think the quarterback they like the most is available at 6, they owe it to themselves to figure out if it will be in their best interest to trade up and get their guy.
Ooh,
and
okay.
And I don't think that's necessarily the most likely scenario, but it's something they have to at least think about, because it's not – we look at the Eagles' history in the draft, they don't get in the top 10 very often.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're here – you remember how much it took for them to get from 13 to 8 to 2 to get Carson Wentz. And we can argue about that now, but at the time, I thought it was a really shrewd move. I thought they did a really good job in identifying their guy, going up and getting him. I think that you at least have to think about that right now when you're at 6, if there's a quarterback there or if you can move up. I don't know if they'll do that, because I think the flip side of this is that, you know, they got their quarterback and then they didn't surround him with enough talent, and it might have led to this, or at least expedited this franchise quarterback getting ousted. But if you're at number 6, you got to look at the quarterbacks at least. You owe it to yourself, and I guarantee you they're doing their homework right now.
Final question I have for you, Dave Zingaro. It has to do with the coaching staff. And, you know, first year under Nick Sirianni, the age of a majority of this coaching staff, you put aside Jeff Stoutland, I mean, it could rival the players on who are on staff, who are on the roster. It is incredible, from guys in their 30s all the way down to guys in their 20s. Does that concern you?
Yeah, I think it's a real concern. Is it, like, the biggest concern with the team? No. But you do wonder, like, if you have a position coach, right, who is either the same age or a few years older than the guys he's coaching, how much respect is he going to get? You know, in that case, it's not respect given, it's respect earned. And that's okay. You just have to earn that respect. And I think those coaches have to go about their job in a little different fashion than a guy who's kind of earned his stripes. And that's fine. Look, there have been plenty of good young coaches, and I think it's going to kind of infuse this team with some excitement, some youth, and that's all good. You do wonder about, you know, if you're a veteran in the room, you know, if you're a veteran offensive lineman or I guess not offensive lineman because you're bringing back Jeff Stoutland, but if you're a veteran in a room and you're looking at your coach like, man, you're my age, like, that's a little bit of a fear, but ultimately, I don't think it's too big of a deal. I think that maybe they should try to bring in either an offensive or a defensive kind of consultant figure who has some experience, who can kind of guide these young coaches. I think there'd be some value in that. And I don't think that's something that this coaching staff has necessarily ruled out yet.
Right. I lied. I have one more question, Dave, because you're the perfect person to answer. I had Jamal Jackson on earlier tonight. Jamal Jackson, former Eagles center for many years, you know, handed the reins over to Jason Kelce. And I've been thinking a lot about, like, what's the future with all the holes that have to be filled. You know, center would just another thing to add on to it. And that's not an easy position to just replace, especially for what Jason Kelce has meant to this franchise for so many years. If you're Jason Kelce and you see one, maybe minimum two lean years ahead with a brand new coaching staff, new everything, a questionable roster, you're not going to be winning many games. Is it worth it to put your body through all this yet again?
It's a fair question. And I've thought about this quite a bit. You know, Jason has not been shy about the fact that every year he's kind of contemplating his future, and I don't think it's been decided yet. You know, the last year I think he came out and said, yeah, I'm coming back. I think Jeff Stoutland being back helps. You know, there's some level of familiarity. But, yeah, you have to question that because the Eagles – have been pretty upfront with us. You know, they haven't called it a rebuild, but I think they said a retool or whatever phrase they used. And we all see what's going on here. I mean, if they make this Carson Wentz trade, if Jalen Hurts is a quarterback, you're right. It's going to be a lean year. It might be a couple lean years. Does a veteran like Jason Kelce, who has a borderline Hall of Fame career, want to stick around for it? I don't know. I kind of think that after last year, maybe he wants to not have that taste in his mouth, but I really don't know. That comes with no information. I think it's also very possible he steps away. If he does, it would be a huge hole to fill, but honestly, it's a hole they're going to have to fill regardless. I mean, he's not going to be here when this team gets good again. I think we have to kind of understand that fact at this point that, you know, this team is in a rebuild phase, and he's not long for this league, and a lot of their best players, honestly, aren't going to be here when this team is good again, and that's just looking at it realistically.
Yeah, and I know it stinks too, because you, Dave, especially, I've been witness to this. I mean, if you had locker room access, if it wasn't, weren't dealing with COVID, you know, you'd be having a one-on-one with him, just having a conversation and getting a better understanding, but sadly that can't happen at this point in time. Dave Zingaro does a great job covering the Philadelphia Eagles for NBC Sports Philadelphia. If you want links to all his stories and the latest Eagles news, like, for example, if somehow, someway tonight Carson Wentz is traded, Dave Zingaro will be tweeting about it and writing stories about it. You should be following him on Twitter at the letter D Zingaro, NBCS. Dave, as always, I appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Have a good night.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.